Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Julie Bates with the podcast Training the Pointing Labrador, episode number 308. And today's episode is going to be about you and me, about the human aspect of this dog training thing. And it doesn't matter what kind of dog, what kind of training, you know, we're not going to be really specific to anything other than we are training our dogs. I don't care if it's just to be able to take them for a walk around the block or all the way to I want to go to the national and finish it, whatever it is. You know, any kind of dog, any kind of thing. The biggest limiting factor in all of our dog training is the one that is saying the words and the one that's listening to the words. That is our biggest limiting factor. And generally, people will agree with that, you know, especially because it almost resolves you of having to do well. And so it's like, yeah, I'm just not very good. And that way you don't have to try as hard or work as hard or have as high expectations. Now, I've been training dogs for all of my life. I am not a spring chicken. And I've been doing it for other people for over 30 years. And I'm very satisfied with the success I've had. I had a lot of success when it was just me and my dogs because I had really, really good dogs. So I thought it was awesome. And then when I started training other people's dogs, I found out I was not at all even competent and very humbling. And then it was, you know, I went, well, maybe I'm not really good enough to do this. You know, maybe I really don't have the ability that these other people that I see and you know, respect and admire and would like to emulate and be like, maybe I just don't have their talent. All right. So I could have gone with that. And it would have gotten me out of trying very hard or digging very deep or something like that. But I was kind of not programmed that way. So over the years, I have made every mistake. I have looked at this every which way. And finally, after all this time, you know, it's me. And it was always me. And it was always me when I had one of those darn dogs, you know, that just wouldn't learn how to do it or just was fighting with me. I finally found out, yeah, it's not the darn dog, it's you. And that probably has opened the door for me to be effective with a wide variety of dogs. So when I talk to people, and I deal with people all over the United States, you know, I'm helping people virtually and over the computer and then a lot in person. And whenever there's something going on and they, you know, they want some help. And now my group that we have an awesome training group here in Colorado. We train every weekend and sometimes more than that. They train all the time. I'm just saying I'm with them yelling at everybody. But when they hear me say, you realize that you're the reason that dog does it. Now they know. Nobody blames the dog, at least in front of me, because it's not the dog. It is us. And if we can realize how we impact this and what effect we have and what we can do and how can we improve, then sky's the limit. Sky's really the limit. So even if you think, I'm just not that good or I just don't have it, you know, I guess you could be right, probably not. You probably just have to look at this thing in a little bit different way. So when we go and train our dogs, I don't care to having your Lhasa Apso walk around the park with you, or you're going to the Master National or the National Open or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. When you're interacting with this dog, you are bringing in all you have to start is your personality, your perspective, your way of looking at things, you know, what you think about this, what you think about the dog, and that's what you've got. And we all have a whole wide variety of these things, right? And so we come in and we take that and we use that and we work with the dog. The problem is that a lot of the issues and the ways and things that you look at, the way you look at this, may not be the best way to interact with this dog. So a lot of people, if, for example, attention span or patience, let's say, A lot of people, when they work with their dog, they have a lot of expectations. Or he should be the should thing, my favorite. He should be doing this. He should be doing that. And then they go out there and they see that they're not doing it. And then they're mad and they're frustrated with the dog. And then the dog, one, doesn't know what it's supposed to be doing anyway. And then you're mad. And so now it's like, oh my gosh, now what's going to happen? And the training, whatever you're doing, just doesn't go very well. I'm just not very good at this, or I'm going to go to the Tuesday night training thing at PetSmart, or I'm going to just send the dog off to somebody else and have them train it. Still doesn't solve your problem, as long as the problem is you working with your dog. So let me see if I can break this down. There's so many, I know, and I've especially what's really inspired me is I'm working with a lot of people, and I'm going to refer to some people. And it's you. So if you're listening, you're going, I think she's talking about me. You're right. But there are some, and I used to think it was mostly females, but it's males and females that are very kind people, very good people. I just love these guys. I mean, as humans, awesome. Love them. Very kind, very good people. And they are not the kind that would slap their kid on the head or kick their dog because it, you know, peed on the rug. It would be unthinkable. They probably never yell at anyone. And actually, I'm one of these people. Well, I don't know. I'm one of these people. I can't yell at people. I never hit my kids. I couldn't do it. You know, it's just not how I view life. And so when I got into the dog training thing, right, it was like when I first was introduced to the high-level retriever stuff and I saw what people were doing with electric collars and things, I was in shock, right? I was just in shock. It's like, why do people do these to dogs? I was seeing stuff that was not necessary, you know, and I was like, I'll never be able to do this. Obviously, I have figured out how to train these guys with electric collars and everything else, not the way that I initially saw. So it was very hard for me to leave the zone that I was in, which is, you know, oh, I would never hurt anything, and I still don't hurt things, but where I can, you know, force fetch a dog, collar condition a dog, teach him to sit on a dead run, I can do all that in a way that is true to my nature, which is humane, not abusive, not overdone, but enough that the dog understands what the enforcement is, and I do that. So there's some people I've worked with lately that are like that. And, you know, it's all right, you got to make sure, I always say, get your dog into yes, ma'am, or yes, sir mode, right? I didn't say intimidate and stomp on them so they're afraid of you and they'll just do whatever. I just said, just like kids, you know, I never hit my kids or yelled at them, but they knew if I said something, it counted. And it didn't take hitting or threatening or scaring them. It just took reaching them at their level. And it's the same way with these dogs. So instead of sitting in your comfort zone, you need to identify what that is first, and then be aware that that is impacting your training and find out how you can step out of it. Now, I was talking about that kind of softy, nice guy stuff. I hope everybody understands. I'm not talking about, listen, you need to whoop on that dog. I'm never going to say that. But you have to speak to that dog, enforce things you are teaching at a level that the dog goes, okay, I'm paying attention to you and I have it. Just like if you were teaching a student or another person or anybody anything, you have to have that aspect there. Some people are the opposite. And I have met many of those trainers. And I always call them my way or the highway trainers. And a lot of them own up to it. Yeah, they're going to do what I say. So that's their personality. Pretty sure that's probably how they interact with a lot of other things in their life, situations and people and whatnot. It's like, hey, this is how it is. And if you cannot step out of that my way or the highway thing, then you can't. And you don't care, right? Because it's your way or the highway. And then whatever animal you're training, better do it. And so that's the kind of training. And that's what I first saw, which just was, I was horrified. I will tell you that. A lot of people like that. So that you have to have the kind of dog that you can do that with, kind of a tough guy, I don't think I want to, okay, all right, I'll do it type of dog. You will not be effective with a dog that is more sensitive, that has a lot of other aspects to him than just, I can take tough stuff and I'll come right back at you. I've seen some fights between a dog and their trainer because they just basically came to fisticuffs over what they were doing. And it's like, I don't think that's really necessary. But that kind of personality, if you have the kind of personality where everything in your life is sort of compartmentalized. I got this part, I go to work, and then I got this, and then I'm this way here, and with these people I'm that way, and when I go to church I get all holy and everything, and then when I go do other stuff I'm different. There's people who do that, so when they're working with their dog, it's like, all right, dog training time. All right, I'm going to do this, and the dog should do that, the should thing. Whenever you got the should thing in there, there's going to be trouble. They should do that, and then when they don't, because they only have this, they fit in this little block, right? It's Saturday morning, we're training now, and things aren't going the way, and they get frustrated, and they get angry. This is not how this is supposed to go. It should be different, and then they get very frustrated with that, right? And when you're frustrated, you're not teaching anything. You and the dog are not progressing down this educational track that you're on. It's just kind of an unpleasant thing. So when it ends, you put them away, done, get on to the next thing. And it won't get better until you can step out of that. You know, okay, here's your time. You've got to do this stuff. A lot of people, we'll talk about some of these different kind of things. A lot of people are so accustomed to, you know, I'm not really very good at this, that they live there. And so when you're trying to teach them how to teach their dog something, you get just a teeny tiny bit of opening up to that. And then when it's like, oh, that's too much, I can't do this much, and then they close it. So it's very hard when you are unwilling to just open up and listen and pay attention to something, try something, do different things, step out of what you've always done and do, you know, invent something. That's another possibility. But if you don't do that and you just live in the, well, yeah, I'm just not very good at this, then again, you and your dog don't move down the educational track at all. And you just kind of stay there. Seen a lot of those people. I'll have to say, one of the biggest speed bumps on training somebody's dog is, and it's this simple. It is when you do whatever it is you're doing with your dog, whatever it is. Okay, again, here we got the complicated human mind. You might be a multitasker. Okay, yes, I can watch television, look at my social media on my phone, and have a conversation with such and such. You know, and so their mind is like a lot of stuff, never on any one thing too long. Boy, especially now, people's minds are really that way. Dogs fundamentally are not that way. And so when you bring that into your dog, and this is how I see it when I see people. Whenever I do something with somebody, and I'll just use, this weekend we were doing everything, but we were doing some upland. So every person I went out there with, I went, okay, what's the plan before we went in the field? And they just looked at me, right? It's people that are new to me. They just look at me. Well, we're doing upland birds. I said, no, what's the plan? You and your dog, what's the plan? What are we going to do out here? And I never get an answer on the newer people. They're just going out there. We're going to just do upland birds, and I don't know, you tell me what we're doing. And you can't be effective in dog training with the dog's mind. Never mind yours that can do all these things at once and think about this and all that. Dog's not that way. So if you can remove yourself from your kind of random active thinking to something more like the dog, okay, the dog, depending on its level, you know, it may have no clue what we're doing, or it may have some clue, or it may not care about what I think. It can have a lot of things, but you have to have an idea. If you're going to start teaching your dog basic obedience, okay, we're going to start basic obedience today. Okay, what's the plan? And again, I don't know, we're going to do obedience. That's no plan. And when you go into that with no specific thing that you want to begin to impart to this dog, then you will not impart any specific thing to this dog. And again, when we're doing this, when people are doing this with their dog, they got the multitasking. Okay, well, we're going to do heel, sit in here, and it's like, okay, let's help. If we're starting and this dog doesn't really know what we're doing, we're putting a leash on it and making it do stuff it's never done before, how about we get it used to just having the leash on and walking with us, kind of? Let's just start there. And I am not exaggerating this at all. If I'd never done obedience with a dog, first thing I'm going to do is put, and I'm a choke chain and leash, not a prong collar, not electric collar, not any, I just like a large linked choke chain and leash. And I'm going to have the dog, get used to having a leash on, and then maybe just walking on the one side of me, not perfect or anything else, just get that. I'm going to teach that thing first, because for the dog, this is a brand new thing. For you, you already saw everybody, how cool they got all this stuff, and then they're going over to an electric collar and they're doing it off leash, looks so cool. Let's go for that. No, let's don't go for any of that stuff. Let's get out of our ambition to be as cool as everybody else and just teach this dog from the very beginning. Never had a choke chain and a leash on? Get them used to that today. That's all. Until they realize, oh, when you put that on, you're paying a lot of attention to me and we get to do some stuff. There's nothing horrific happening, right? All right, now we got that. Again, let's get out of your mind and into theirs, and let's just teach them. Okay, now you're going to walk on my whatever side. You're going to walk on my side with me. With me. Now, all these people that are coming up going, my dog is always pulling or walking in front of me. And that's because they were taught that, because they were allowed to do it. And when you allow a dog to do something, that means it's okay. So that's how they are. If they get to walk in front of you, I had that question from somebody a lot this weekend. If they got to walk in front of you all the time and you're going, I don't like, look at this. It's like, well, how about we don't teach them to do that? And we teach them to walk, you know, hip to hip or whatever, rib to rib, whatever is your preference. Let's just teach them that way. That's all we're going to teach them. Now we got the leash on them. Now we're going to teach them this is where you are. Not by letting them pull ahead and then pulling them back, because that's, now we got that's a dance step. You walk ahead and I pull you back. You walk ahead and I pull you back. And then they're going, okay, that's what you want. That's what we'll do. Don't do that if you don't want them to do that. So if you have your leash and collar on, have them right next to you. In the beginning, you can keep them there, especially when they're little. You can keep them there and teach them this is where you go. And then when you get that, let's put the sit into that every now and then, okay? And with sit isn't, I'm going to say it 8 times until you sit. It's like, I'm going to say sit, and then you're going to sit, and that's going to be good. And you're going to stay seated until I say heel or we're done or whatever. Broken down to very simple things. But because we don't think like that, we don't train our dogs that way. And this applies to everything. If you have kind of a randomized, I'm teaching them obedience. And again, if you're going to have a command for everything, it's not necessary. That just is your need to feel cool by having a big dog vocabulary. That's all for you. That is not best for the dog. The more simple and clear things are with the dog, the better. Okay, so lots of commands is not impressive. Few very effective commands is. Again, let's get out of your personality, prior experiences, and get what's best for this animal. And you'll be amazed how much more talented and receptive they become to stuff when you do. When you become receptive to how that animal thinks and what they're doing, and you take your personality out of it. So I want to talk about the frustration part of this. We all get frustrated. That, you know, if you interact with any other living thing, people, dog, horse, emu, I don't care, where you interact with any other thing, there will come a time when you will be frustrated because something should be a certain way and it's not, and you've tried really hard and it's still not, and so you're frustrated. When you are frustrated, working with a dog, even one that's kind of a numbskull, all right, they are aware of that. That is a negative, it's a little like a dark cloud has come into the session together. They don't understand that you've asked them 7 times to do this, and you had to make them 7 times do it, and they should be getting this right, and so this is getting frustrated. They don't realize all that. They don't know any of that. That's not how things go in their head. They just know there's a dark cloud, and when dark clouds come around, it's usually not good. And when they feel that way, they become less receptive to learning and responding to you, and they kind of close down. And then what happens? Then you get more frustrated, right? And then the cloud gets darker, and then they close down more. You have to be aware of the impact of your emotional state on your dog. They don't read an emotional state like we do. If I was watching, I'd go, oh, you're frustrated. Dog doesn't do that. I said, just the dark cloud came. The dark cloud came. And they begin to associate what happens to them when the dark cloud comes. And instead of letting that happen, when you begin to get frustrated, if you stop and identify what that is, I have had to make this dog sit 5 times in a row. It shouldn't be this way, right? Maybe this dog is stupid, or maybe I'm horrible. We're going to find some excuse for it. So instead of that, again, if I could take all of our personalities out of it, because I have had to do this to myself a zillion times. All right, I have had to make this dog sit 5 times. So am I doing something wrong? Am I not communicating something? Does the dog not want to sit because you're making him sit on a hot piece of concrete? Does the dog have a little sand burr and it's under its tail, and every time you make it sit, it hurts, and so that's why it's not sitting? Or have you not clearly taught this well enough? So you have to actually stop, take a breath, and let the dog take a breath, dissipate the black cloud so the dog doesn't start to constrict and kind of close up a little bit, and check the dog out. Is there any physical reason that it can't be sitting or doesn't want to sit? Are we on hot concrete? When it gets into spring and summer, don't forget even ground. The ground could be too hot for them. Grass is always pretty good for that stuff. But anyway, make sure it's not that. And then if it's that, you have not effectively taught that. So the first thing you have to do is get yourself out of the frustration. Because that dog isn't going to learn much while you're frustrated. Get yourself, try to isolate what it is. And if it was you, say, I must not have taught this well enough. Take the responsibility full on. Not guilt, just responsibility. I haven't taught this well enough. Let me try something different. Okay, maybe you're not that type. It's like, this is how it's supposed to be. He should be doing this. All right, throw the shoulds out and go, for example, I think in a recent podcast, when I was training some dogs that wouldn't retrieve. It wouldn't retrieve, but they would in the water, right? So it's like, good, we'll just retrieve in the water for a week. And then they started retrieving on land. So I just had to go, okay, I've done everything I know how to do, and it's not working. So let me just do something totally different, and it might work. This dog that's not sitting, walking along at my side, everything's fine, seems physically, nothing hurt, no pain. I'm going to have him come to me and sit in front of me and see if breaking up the picture somehow doesn't make it different. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But in other words, instead of the having whatever your personality traits are come in here, I'm going to make this sucker sit. Okay, that's a really big dark cloud. And then they learn that dark clouds come with you, and students don't do well in that situation. Try something a little bit different. Or end on something the dog can do well, end the session, think about it. And your plan tomorrow when you do this, the plan you have is, I'm going to go somewhere different. I'm going to use different stuff. I'm going to just work on sit. Maybe I'll go in the house and have him sit, you know, before dinner, and have him sit before he gets his evening treat, or have him sit before he gets to go see so-and-so he likes so much. Break it up, find a new way. But what you have to do is be effective with the dog and put your personality idiosyncrasies to the side. Very important. Know what you bring in. And if you are, let's say you're a very emotional person. Just very emotional. A lot of people are, especially females, but a lot of people are when they train dogs. And sometimes you're really loud and sometimes you're not, and sometimes all this kind of stuff, right? That's not real effective. Put yourself in the position when you were, you know, in a class. If you had a teacher that was all over the place stuff and something, you know, that would not be as effective as one that was not about themselves, but communicating the relevant material to you. Just another little something to think about. I'm going to throw another one at everybody that I have found to be a very interesting thing. Matter of fact, I had somebody, it was this weekend, somebody asked me, you know, why do you think such and such dog is behaving the way that it is? And my first question, because I had noticed the same thing, was, is there anything going on in his life right now that's kind of unpleasant or a big change or just something that is somewhat stressful? And of course, we don't know. But I suspect that might be part of it because I know the dog really well. I suspect, and that happens with a lot of us, when we have things going on in our lives, believe it or not. And again, if you don't think about this stuff, that doesn't mean it isn't true. But if you have, you know, gosh, when I was going through a divorce, good Lord, that was horrible. Don't wish that on anybody. And I'm still training dogs through the whole thing. And I had to do things. Running was one of the things I would do. A lot of exercise was great. I had to get myself out of that burnt fire stage before I worked with my dogs. And I couldn't take my frustration or whatever I had, my angst, on any animal. And I had to work really hard to make sure that did not impact them. And I'm not sure it still didn't happen. I'm sure, you know, there was things that I just didn't see that wouldn't, if I was just normal, regular me, like right now, that it would have been a lot better. So I don't know what kind of cloud I came in with then, but I tried so hard to blow it away before I went and worked with the dogs. And I just really urge everyone who's seriously training dogs to be aware of what a major impact your current life situation and emotional state is on you and how you work with your dog. So the first step, right, is just knowing that that happens. And then the second step is make a plan to calibrate for that, so that you can be most effective with your dog and leave the crazy stuff over to the side, at least for a little while. Dogs are so much, they are so eminently tuned in to us in an energetic way. And if you don't think about stuff that way, then it's not a thing. But it is a thing. And it's a very important thing. So anytime, this would be my suggestion, you know, I don't know. This is what I had to converge on to become somewhat effective dog trainer, or to actually earn the money I was paid, right? Great driving force to get better. Before you do anything, the simplest of things, make a plan. Make a plan suitable for the dog, not you. Not one that you like, one that works with the dog. Make a plan. Make sure that it's probably far more simple than you like, especially if you're really knowledgeable or experienced or cool, right? Yeah, don't do that either. Go to what's best for this dog, break it down to its little pieces. Okay, what piece? Should I only work on one piece of whatever this is? You know, or have we already worked on one and now I'm going to add the second? And later, you know, I'll add a third if that's possible, but not until the ones that came ahead are very, very clearly and thoroughly carried out. If you can simplify your thinking to that, you are now more on a level with your dog than, here, I got my dog bot, let's power him up and dial in this program and let's go. That is not the most effective way. So, and if that's your personality, you really, really, really need to, if you can, take that into account. That allows you to adjust for different kinds of dogs and, you know, your dog versus what he should be, but actually what he is. Very, very helpful. Very, very helpful. Put the responsibility on you, and I always say that, but think about it even more simply. You know, find out, okay, what is this? What am I bringing to this? What am I bringing to this? How am I when I'm going in here? What is my state of mind? Because that is exactly what the dog is reading and usually reflecting right back to you. So when you tune out, they tune out. And I don't know how many times I've seen people get frustrated and mad, right? Because they tuned out and then they notice their dog was tuned out and they're upset. It's like, and they're mad at the dog, right? I mean, I just love that. When they tuned out, they did something. Then when they came, you know, that's a lot of times dogs break. A lot of breaking dogs are that, because the person's all into it. When they're all into it, the dog's really good. But when they're nervous, like at an event, right? You're all nervous and you're thinking about, oh, look at all those people looking at me. And, oh, that judge is really mean. And, oh, that's really hard. And they're looking at that dog took off because the dog since the lack of connection went, okay, I'd really rather go. So another reason to, but then everybody's mad. And then the dog pays the price later. This darn dog always breaking on me. I'm going to fix this. I was like, no, you're not. Not until you fix you. So anyway, I just think that's very important. The human side of this is everything. The dogs are fun and easy. You know, some are super great and some are just kind of okay. They can all get there probably. It's the limiting factor is you and me. And if you can be that way, it takes being a little bit humble. You can't be, well, I know all this stuff. I really, you know, that's a kiss of death. That's the kiss of death. When you go in there going, oh man, I got to figure this out. What's my idea? How are we going to keep it simple? What am I going to teach this dog? And leave your vanity out of it. You will be, or leave your vanity if you're that way, kind of a prideful person. Or if you're the guilty, oh, I can never do this, I'm not good enough kind. That's equally BS, okay? Yeah, you can. All you have to do is break it down onto one thing. Work on that until it's very good. If something doesn't work, try something else. It isn't because the dog's no good or you're not good. It's because you haven't found the right thing or approach. So leave your personality things aside and just do what's best for that dog. And you will find that you won't be vain after that, nor will you be, oh, I'm not very good. You'll go, well, it's going to take a while, but I'll figure this out. And then you can do it. I guarantee it does work that way. So that's today's snowstorm here in Colorado again today. But I'm sure we'll have a hot day and four of them, and it'll just be a swamp out there. I wish everybody the best. Season is starting, and good luck to everybody. And I'll be back next week.